Happy Memorial Day, guys and dolls. You're listening to Playtime with Okay, that was the song "In the Bomb Like You" by K-Maro. It's a French group and a French song with a little bit of English mixed in there. I don't believe I was recording at the very top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and repeat myself. You can let me know if you heard me earlier, but you may not have. But I just avoided a big error, so I'm just letting you in on that. But yeah, happy Memorial Day, guys and dolls. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, brought to you courtesy of Blog Talk Radio and NakedGirlsRadio.com. I'm your hostess, Sandra London, and it is Sunday, May 27th, 2012. So I hope everybody's having a fantastic weekend. I had a fun weekend so far, kind of chilling as usual, but I also did a massive walk around the beach and the boardwalk with Pepito in tow, and I'm sure he had a good time. He's sleeping quite peacefully right now next to me. For tonight's episode, I will be having a special guest by the name of John Reddy, a British writer and photographer that I've actually known since I was 19 years old. So, yeah, this should be pretty fun. So he'll be joining me a bit later on throughout the broadcast. I will go ahead and play a song for you now, and I'll be back with music, news, a couple erotic stories, and a live reading of one or more of Charles Baudelaire, one of my absolute favorite French writers, from a collection that he has from Les Fleurs du Mal, The Flowers of Evil. But I want to go ahead and give you a song real quick, and I will talk to you again very, very soon. But let's go ahead and put on, I'll do Break You by X Factor. Here you go.
Can't stop these thoughts and marshes. Can't stop. Break.
Girlsradio.com, And yeah, I just heard everything's all good, so you can hear me now. I want to apologize for last week. I did the entire show where somehow everything got all mixed up, so like all the pre-recorded stuff that was in my studio played, but everything I did, like I read those stories, I read Charles Baudelaire, I read like two or three of his poems, and all sorts of commentary about solar eclipse, yada yada, and yet dead space. So sorry about that, but I'll be sure to not let that happen again to the best of my abilities. Anyway, first news item of the evening that I wanted to share was, I guess, a big congratulations to Dario Franchitti, who just won his third Indy 500. So I guess this was the 96th edition of the Indianapolis 500 motor race, and he placed first, and I guess during the final stretches, he sort of traded the lead with Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon, but he was able to pull through, just like he did in 2007 and 2010. So congratulations, Dario Franchitti. Second bit of news, here in California, or I guess on the outskirts of California, in between California and Nevada, there was a 3.8 earthquake. I don't believe there's much damage, but I can check and make sure if anybody wants to know. And third, before my next bit of either music or erotica, I gotta see. But anyways, the last bit of news in this segment I'd like to share is happy birthday to the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge has just turned 75 today, and so in honor of the bridge's birthday, a new project was launched to the public called the Solar Beacon. So people will actually be able to go to the Golden Gate Bridge website and to the Solar Beacon and, you know, choose, they can sign in and choose where they want the two bright, bright, bright lights to shine from the bridge throughout the city. So that's kind of cool. And I guess it was built in opened in 1937 anyways, and it took 4 years to construct and claim the lives of 11 men and almost claimed 19 more, but they were saved by a safety net. So all in all, we have this beautiful bridge in San Francisco, and it gets to celebrate its golden oldies. So let's move along. I'll give you another song here real quick and perhaps some erotica. I'll go ahead and play the song. How about? I'll play "Freak Show." Yeah, I'll do that. "Freak Show" by Cheech Marley featuring Tony Yates. Here you go.
Girl, I like how you work them hips and thighs. How you bouncing going all around, it got me hypnotized. And you got my attention.
How you drop it to the floor?
All eyes on you, like you're shooting a free throw.
When you do that free throw.
You make them look like beginners. Kissing Mary Jane while I'm painting you this picture. If the bartender asks, Remy Martin, that's my liquor. Shake it fast for me, let me see if it gon' tremble. You got earthquakes, and I swear it's off the Richter. I told you I'm a star, Jeremiah, that's my. Oh yeah, it's very true. When I say we no pretenders, we them young boys. You can check out street credentials. I heard money make you calm. Is you a gold digger? I go $5,001 if you try to get richer. I'ma touch a little bit to make it droop and make it tickle. I can't help myself, I'm in love with a stripper. The only thing I tell my gal is I promise I won't kill her.
Girl, I like how you want them hips and thighs.
How you dancing all around, it got me hypnotized.
And you got my attention.
How you drop it to the floor?
All eyes on you, like you're shooting a free throw.
When you shoot
a free throw.
Get to the preacher, he'll sin with you at the church. He's telling me you've been sexy since the day of birth. The doctor seen the model, told your mama what you worth. I seen the same thing, so I was like, it's closed curtains. I'm meant to beat that thing up, girl, it move, I'm a man. You got a swag like Rihanna and a body like Alicia. If you let me press your keys, I can promise I'm a pleaser. Girl, I gotta get you, cause it's cold like Keisha. Got a Campbell on your back, I could've sworn you was Tisha. And the pennies you can sell, I'm broke, joke, cause you don't need them. You got a smooth dude, the dirty dime, where they breed them. She can tell when you fake like a book, how she reads you. She don't wanna entertain you, she don't even try to tease you.
Girl, I like how you work them hips and thighs.
How you dancing
all around, it got me hypnotized. And you got my attention.
How you drop it to the floor?
All eyes on you, like you're seen a freak.
When you do that
freak
show.
That was Freak Show by Cheech Marley featuring Tony Yates. So I have a new audio erotica poem to share with you. It's new in audiovisual, or I guess, well, audio and visual form, but you'll be able to hear it first. It's been written, and it was on my website, liveandgrindnla.com, back when I was blogging via WordPress. But I did actually record myself reading it, wearing this sexy, like, silver short dress with fishnet stockings and boots. And, yeah, if you've seen, what was it, the Ted Nugent striptease lap dance thingy video that I did a while back, that silver dress, yeah, it's that one. And so, yeah, but you'll be able to hear it. Be able to hear the poem, and it is called Captured, and so I'll be playing it for you now in audio form for the first time ever. Here you go.
You captured my gaze with your long brown hair. You captured my chest when I felt her stir within. She is throbbing for you now, my dear kitty, she is. She warms me, she wets me. Quivers for your cough. My tongue, well, it reminisces upon a delicious, savory, salty, sweet whisper of your lips. I swallow. But my eyes, even when you're out of sight, my eyes, they paint a picture whenever tension begins to build. other. And you take that shit. And you own it. It's yours.
So that was captured. When I actually wrote that, I was writing it like a stream of consciousness style while I was actually having a Facebook chat. So yeah, that's where it came from. And I hope you guys like that. Let me go ahead and give you another song now. And then I'll go ahead and do one of those live readings from Monsieur Charles Baudelaire, one of the best French authors ever, shortly after that. But I'll go ahead now and play, let's get down there, I'll play The Outcrowd by Kyle Young. Here you go. Okay, scratch that. Let's say The Excuse by Kyle Young. Let's try that one. Here we go.
Took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I.
Whatever it takes, I'm gonna grace the place with the ace of space till I make the break. Go till I see the sign like ace of base. When I find it, it's blinding, like place some shades on my ocular. Can't stop seeing spots because I was sponsored by the vodka till I stopped popping pops for her. Got 1,000 offers served, got tired of seeing officers. Now I rock binoculars, far into the future. DeLorean, deliria, historian, hysteria, involved in the interior. Watching Alice balance his life all into the Americas. Lost it all in there, it was my conscience, wasn't very loved. But I still go the high road, cut down the amount that I smoke. Sober but simo, spontaneous, I'm not blaming shit. After all, it's my life, that's why I'm saying this.
Took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I.
Crushed up, cut up, quick up the nose. Love struck, tongue stuck, sticks to the soul. It depends on the dose. Will it rip in a hole? Bigger it gets, swifter than a flip of a switch. Risking a load, ending is the riches and gold. Minimum mini bumps with the internet toe. The ribbons will flow straight to where the pigeons will go. In the river and a cove, into victory's road. Kicking the dough, don't enter like a bitch to the pro. Take a stand like the landlord, rent doesn't know. With the handle of a damn sword, give him a show. You're a candle or a lantern, give it a glow, live it a blow. Bam, bam, bigger than low. Put my best can on rigmarole. Me and crazy go together like winter and snow. I'll eventually slow in a century though.
Took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I took a pill one day and I have never been the same, and I remain to die. The day and time was sane, and I one day and I.
That was The Excuse by Kyle Young. Ooh, alrighty. So I'll go ahead and do a live reading now of one of Baudelaire's works called The Desire to Paint. Okay. Alrighty. I'll go ahead and start now. Unhappy, perhaps, is the man, but happy the artist who is torn with this desire. I burn to paint a certain woman who has appeared to me so rarely and so swiftly fled away, like some beautiful, regrettable thing the traveler must leave behind him in the night. It is already long since I saw her. She is beautiful, and more than beautiful, she is overpowering. The color black preponderates in her. All that she inspires is nocturnal and profound. Her eyes are two caverns where mystery vaguely stirs and gleams. Her glance illuminates like a ray of light. It is an explosion in the darkness. I would compare her to a black sun if one could conceive of a dark star overthrowing light and happiness. But it is the moon that she makes one dream of most readily. The moon, who has, without doubt, touched her with her own influence. Not the white moon of the idols, who resembles a cold bride, but the sinister and intoxicating moon, suspended in the depths of a stormy night among the driven clouds. Not the discreet, peaceful moon who visits the dreams of pure men, but the moon torn from the sky, conquered and revolted, that the witches of Thessaly hardly constrain to dance upon the terrified grass. Her small brow is the habitation of a tenacious will and a love of prey. And below this inquiet face, whose mobile nostrils breathe in the unknown and the impossible, glitters with an unspeakable grace the smile of a large mouth, white, red, and delicious. A mouth that makes one dream of the miracle of some superb flower unclosing in a volcanic gland. There are women who inspire one with the desire to woo and get and win them, but she makes one wish to die slowly beneath her steady gaze. That was The Desire to Paint by Monsieur Charles Baudelaire. And he's an Aries. Isn't that awesome? So am I. Yay. Cool. So anyways, let me go ahead and give you another slightly longer erotic story of mine. And then I'm going to get my longtime photographer and dear friend, John Reddy, on the line, and we can have this interview. But let me go ahead and give you, I'll give you my Bloody Mary. Here you go.
Vivian, where the fuck do you think you're going?
I'm right here, Sam. What do you want from me?
I haven't seen Rosemary since Friday night. Last I knew, she was with you.
Oh,
all you could say is, oh, don't fucking keep secrets from me. What have you done with my heart?
You think I have something to do with her being so suddenly MIA? Maybe I should be asking you, mister.
Don't get cute with me. Cut the shit. Tell me where she is. This is no time for your silly little mind games. And why are you wearing the necklace I gave her?
You really want to know?
Of course I do.
Fine. If you must know, I'll tell you. I found her in the bath. A leg splayed over the rim of the tub. Her red hair shaved and stubbly over her plump vaginal lips. Her other lips were bruised. A shockingly sensual shade of violet. Her fingers were clenched tightly, grasping at something unknown, but decidedly uninvited. Those eyes. I chose not to take more than a passing glance. They had obviously seen it all. But they're stuck, fixated, capturing it, me, forevermore. And they're judging me. Why did they continue to do that? Why are they still? Ugh.
Shall I pluck them out? Rosemary, Rosemary, Rosemary. Even in death, she haunts me. You should have seen it coming, Stone. That bitch. I just can't help the fact that I love you. So that was My Bloody Mary, which is a story that I wrote last year while I was on vacation in Montecito, California. So yeah. Alrighty, let me give an introduction to my guest that will be joining me on the air here on Playtime with Sandra Radio. John Reddy is his name, and he's an internationally known writer and photographer with more than 4 decades of experience. He covers the auto industry, motor racing, and more recently, reviewing digital cameras, computers, and web technologies. And he also is a glamour photographer. And I first met him when I was in college in Santa Barbara, and I was about 19 years old. So good times. It's officially been a decade. So yeah, I'll go ahead and get him on the air for you. Right now, I'm going to give him a call. One moment.
John, hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
It's me.
It's Sandra London, Playtime with Sandra Radio, Rise and Shine.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a nice long, long, long walk with my dog on the beach. It was fantastic. Did you do anything to celebrate Memorial Day weekend?
No, not really. I just didn't do my usual work, hard work or anything, and so just sat around, read the newspaper, and relaxed.
Oh, okay. Well, since you cover, like, motor racing and all these types of things, were you, like, watching the Indy 500, whichever?
Yes, I did. I watched the Indy 500, and I also set my alarm at 5 o'clock this morning to watch the Monaco Grand Prix. I watched that lying in bed. And that was a good race, actually.
Who won that one?
Mark Webber from Australia and the Red Bull. And it was a good race because the
Red Bull sponsored him?
Actually, the whole team is called Red Bull. Red Bull is the sponsor, but also the owner of the team.
Oh.
It's pretty. They've won the championship the last 2 years.
I've got a Red Bull in front of me right now.
Oh, you do? That's what I
yes,
feel
I
like.
Do.
I just had a glass of wine instead, so that's the opposite.
I do have a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon left, but I'm gonna wait till after the show for that. But So anyways, I'd like for you to share with my audience a bit about your life and, you know, the types of things that inspired you or influenced you to become a writer and a photographer. So I guess, first things first, what made you want to be a writer?
Actually, I started out as a photographer. I didn't really want to be a writer. I wanted to be a photographer. And I started out doing motor racing photography and glamour photography, and then got into rock and roll photography. And then after doing photography for, 4 or 5 years, I realized that I'd have to start writing to help sell the photographs, so I became a writer as well.
Okay. So then, were you studying photography or writing in college? Because I was doing my little background research, and I saw that you attended the University of Leeds, And so, like, is it something totally unrelated to your actual lifelong career, or were you kind of already headed that way in the first place?
No, it was totally unrelated. I studied civil engineering and got bored with that. I got bored with all the math, and I really wanted to be a photographer, so I followed my dream instead of my official career path, I guess you could say.
I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm not sure if you have like the show playing in the background right now or not. I hear like a small echo. No.
Sorry, what?
Do you have my show up right now on your like computer?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just me. Alrighty, moving along. Alright, so when did you first, like, move from the UK to the States? And did you start out in California, or did you live somewhere else first?
Well, it wasn't an overnight thing. I came here, believe it or not, makes me sound really, really old. I came here in 1969 for the summer when I was, 20 years old. And I bummed around the country in a Greyhound bus. And I started out in New Jersey, actually, Newark, New Jersey, where I worked for 7 weeks. And then went across the country and ended up in Southern California and fell in love with Southern California. So decided to come back the following year, which I did, and spent 5 months here. And that really started my career, because that's when I got into photographing motor racing, and which I'd done a bit of before in England, but it really started then.
Have you ever been to, like, what is it, Willow Springs Racetrack out here? I think it's, like, Rosemond area. That's the only, like, official, well, not official, but, like, racetrack type of thing I've ever been to, I think, ever.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, no, I've been there many times. In fact, that's the place where I've the only place where I've competed in a race myself. A road
really?
Race on a circuit, yeah. Yeah, I did a race there back in, about 1977, I guess, a mini race, and driving a mini, and I qualified last, I started last, I finished last, but I won my class, so I got a trophy.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I
got a big cheer from the crowd.
Well, hey, I would have cheered you on had I been, on Earth at the moment.
Right, if you'd been born.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was born a bit after that, but yeah. No, I was there for like the summer of my freshman year of college. I helped out with just like the concession stand with a girlfriend of mine. So we were helping, you know, moisturize and hydrate the racers, the driver, the motorists out there. But it was fun. But yeah, it lasted about a summer, and then I don't think I've ever been back since then. Although it would be fun to kind of check it out.
Yeah, I've been there many times since, and I've test driven cars around there, but not actually competed in a race. So yeah, I've been there. I used to go there at least once or twice a year, but I haven't actually been there for a couple of years now. But yeah, I've driven around there many times, and I've gone off-roading there as well. I even took my son there to go to a school for teaching teenagers to drive.
I didn't even know they offered all that. Yeah. Well, everybody listening in, if you're in California and you want to have somewhere where you might be able to do your own test drives or private racing or...
Right.
Teaching people how to drive, go to Willow Springs.
That's absolutely true. You're right. They have classes there for teaching to drive, teaching teenagers, and then they have what are called track days when, you know, people can bring any cars they want to race around the track.
Yeah, I think that's what I was there for.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They have stuff going on almost every weekend and many days during the week. Pretty busy place.
Well, maybe like the next time you plan on going, let me know so you can like take took some pictures of me. Well, they let me go nude on the racetrack, and
oh,
I stand in the center
well,
and be like, 3, 2, 1, go, and just feel like a flag between my boobs.
Yeah, you could probably sneak a picture or two in. I've done that at off-road races, but not at a road race.
Okay, well, what if they were all leather then?
Right.
Like, yeah, as long as I'm clothed, maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
Please say yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, I guess tell my listeners, I guess, and me, because I'd be curious to know what your first impression of me was when you met me at the child age of 19.
19? Were you that young? I thought you were at least 20. You pretended to be 20.
Maybe.
Oh, I thought you were gorgeous, and you were a good model, and I was always interested in photographing again, and then we did another photo shoot what, a year later, and then I've photographed you many times since then, and hopefully many more times.
Yes, I would like to do that.
One of my favorite models.
Oh, well, for everybody listening in, he owns the domain glimmerphotos.com, and there's some old school pictures of me on there, and there's also pictures of Puma Suede, and I was actually going through some of the other models and stuff that are on there, and I think Avion Baptiste is gorgeous. She's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how
I
failed to see her pictures beforehand, but I like her pictures a lot, and there's some really sexy ones of Puma Suede, so if anybody wants to check that out, just go to glamourphotos.com. The one on the railroad is like priceless. I really, really like that one. Oh my goodness, I actually have a caller right now. Let's see, maybe they want to tune in and add some thoughts. Let's see, hold on, let's go ahead and hello, this is Playtime with Sandra Radio. Sandra speaking. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Caller, I can't hear you. Oh, la, la. Okay, well, caller, try to call back again if you can, but I can't hear you at the moment. Ooh. All right. Yeah, I couldn't hear them, but maybe they'll call back. The guest call-in number is 858-815-2333. Caller, please feel free to call again, and maybe we can hear you this next time around. But yeah, I have like plenty more questions about you and stuff I want you to share with my listeners about a lot of the rock and roll musicians you've photographed and all this kind of stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and play a song real quick. So are you fine? You can stay with me on the line here.
I will. I'll listen to the song.
Oh, awesome. Alrighty. So I will play Halfway Home by Assimilation. And here we go. was the song Halfway Home by Assimilation. More of their music is available on NakedGirlsRadio.com. All right. Mr. Sir John Retty, sir, are you still there?
I am indeed. Thank you for calling me, sir. Very nice. Madam.
Always. Nice. Okay, so before we go into talking about the rock and roll photography you've done, which is pretty darn impressive, I just wanted to ask you one more question about cars, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, what's like the most exotic car that you've ever been able to test drive, in your opinion?
Well, exotic, I guess, would be the Lamborghini Aventador that I drove just a couple of months ago in Santa Monica.
Ooh.
That's a $300,000 British sports car, which looks like a Batmobile. And I got to borrow it for 2 hours. And I borrowed it in West LA and drove it to a luncheon meeting I had in Santa Monica and drove it around the block a few times and took it back.
You didn't take it along PCH, Pacific Coast Highway?
Well, I'd like to have done, but, you know, the trouble is I really couldn't drive it any faster than I could in Santa Monica. The silly thing is, with really loud, exotic cars like that, they're just as much fun to drive at slow speed around town as they are out in the mountains, because you get to hear the engine, and you know, you just
and you get to show off. You get
to
see everybody's expression
right,
on their face. Yeah,
right.
That sounds. Was it like? Was it all black, like true Batmobile style, or was it like yellow?
Yeah, no, it was all black. In fact, it was a matte black finish.
Ooh.
So it was really like a Batmobile.
Okay, all right, note to self and note to you. You gotta call me when you're driving around in a Lamborghini Batmobile, yo.
Well, I did call you when I had it. Well, I did call you when I had a Ferrari, but you weren't around, and you couldn't meet with me. Otherwise,
right.
Yeah, I'd love to have taken you for a ride in one of those cars.
I just want to lay
next
on it.
Next time. Yeah, well, yeah, you could have laid on it, yes. Being a mean and matte black finish wouldn't have caused any scratches or anything else.
Okay.
Of course, you don't have any sharp points in your body anyway. So.
All right. Well, then the next time you're in L.A. and you call, be sure to note, you know, advise me of exactly what kind of car you're rolling in. I'm gonna be the vapid ex-Valley girl and be like, what kind of car? I came busy. I'm washing my hair. Oh, it's a Batmobile, you say. I'm suddenly free.
Well, there you go.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I missed your call then when you were in the Ferrari. Was that red? Was it red?
Oh, Ferrari. It has to be red, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was red. Was it red? Was it yellow? No, it was red. It was red. Yeah. I borrowed a yellow one.
You know what, I did actually get to, okay, sorry, listeners, I'm going to go to the rock and roll stuff and the glamour mall stuff, promise, but I'm a little excited right now, sorry. But, what do you call it? I did actually get to test drive a yellow Corvette, back in, I think it was October or so, September, October, and that was awesome. It was so much fun, and it was definitely, like, Transformers style. I had it for like maybe a week. I didn't want to give it back to like the what was it, rental, I don't remember which Hertz or one of those. I'm like, I'll keep it, keep charging. But I don't know, it's kind of like, don't you feel, or are you past being intimidated by cool cars, like when they're especially extravagant, like every little possibility of a nick or a scrape, does that unnerve you, or are you just like,
oh, yeah,
whatever?
No, it does, yeah. you do have a extra sense of responsibility and worry about that, which is why I personally like driving smaller cars, which are not terribly exotic, but handle well and go well, and you can just drive them fast and have great fun, like a Mini Cooper S or a... Oh, I don't know, Mazda Miata, you know.
BMW V4.
Huh?
BMW V4, that's my favorite.
Oh, really?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
The gunmetal silver ones, those are awesome.
Right.
Anyway, okay, yes. On to the rock and roll. Okay, so you have, like, a pretty stellar resume as far as that goes. Would you like to share with my listeners a couple of the major musicians you've been able to photograph in your time as a photographer?
Yeah, no, I was very lucky. I was at, as Sandra said earlier on, I was at University of Leeds in England back in 1970, and I got to photograph several rock and roll groups when they performed at the university, and one of them happened to be The Who, and it happened to be The Who Live at Leeds LP, which has become since then one of the most popular, if not famous, live recordings. So I was very fortunate to photograph them, got to photograph them backstage and met them as well. And then also,
were they nice? They were cool.
Yeah, they were cool. And then I re-met them about 5 years ago and showed them the photographs I took back then. And Roger Daughtry in particular was really keen to see them and asked me about who the other people were in the picture and so on. I also got a photograph of Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, Pink Floyd, Ginger Baker's Air Force, Cream. So it was a good time, all in about a six-month period. Got a photograph of all those famous British rock and roll groups.
All while studying civic engineering, right?
Yeah. And doing photography on the side for the university newspaper. And that's when I decided I wanted to become a photographer. And initially I was going to become a rock and roll photographer, but in the end I decided that photographing motor racing was more fun than photographing rock and roll groups.
Well,
you can believe that.
Probably, because most concerts are like in the dark, right?
Well, yeah, they're in the dark, and you get hassled by security and so on and so forth. And
elbowed by all the crazy fans.
Yeah. The groupies who hang on to you. I had a groupie hang on to me once because I was her ticket into the concert. As soon as I got into the concert, she disappeared backstage.
See, at first I was going to be like, well, how is a groupie a bad thing? And then, the end of that story, that explains it. Cool. So have you ever covered the Monaco Grand Prix? Or?
Yeah, I've been there twice, way back in, well, actually not, well, yeah, it was way back in 1973 and 1985, twice I've been there. One of the ones I'd love to go back to again because it's really exotic. You know, you get to. Well, last time I went there, I got to go to a party on a yacht in the harbour, which is always great fun.
Mm.
Thing with the posh people. I also got to go on a yacht in San Pedro.
Have you heard of? It's like this mega yacht that's in Marina del Rey by like a Russian owner. It's a Russian owner who owns it. I forget. It's called, like, Serene or something like that. It's, like, a huge mega yacht. So have you kept your eyes open for, like, you know, stateside yachts you can climb aboard? Or?
Well, yeah, I haven't been on one here, but there was a Russian-owned mega yacht that was here last year called A, just A, the capital A. So I don't think, not the same one that's in Marina del Rey
now.
It's
not the Serene. Yeah, I gotta look that one up then. Alrighty.
Yeah, so I live in Santa Barbara, and that's where I saw this one last year. I guess it was on its way from San Francisco down to Marina del Rey. Might be the same one.
Oh, really?
Change their names. I mean,
I'm gonna have to look that one up.
The one
up.
I saw
was
called A Yacht.
Really? Huh. I'll look into it and I'll let you know, and I'll post about it, listeners. I'll post about it on my blog. That's cool. Alrighty. Okay, so moving along, I guess, to glamour photography. Did you do that originally alongside motor racing, or did it happened a bit afterwards once you got fully established with...
Well, no, actually, believe it or not, glamour photography, that's what I started doing first of all. I was 17, and my a girl who was 17 as well wanted to do some modeling, so I took some photographs of her in lingerie on my parents' bed when my parents were away for the weekend. And then I photographed her younger sister as well, who actually went on to be a model in Mayfair in England, which is like a penthouse. And then I photographed I worked as a temporary job for the post office one Christmas when I was, well, yes, that was when I was 17, and photographed the beauty queen, the Miss Post Office Temp, I think her name was, or something. But yeah, then I photographed models at university, as well as doing rock and roll and murder racing photography.
Let me get this straight. Okay, so for Britain, I suppose, like Miss Post Office, are they like allowed to be true glamour models, or sort of like bikini models? Like, were the contestants like able to be topless at all, or was it all like how cute they look in their postal bigs?
Oh yeah, no, it was just every Christmas they had all these temporary post office workers, and you know, there were probably, I don't know, 50 or so, and
uh-huh.
half of them were, you know, guys and half were girls, and they just had this contest for the prettiest girl, and she was Miss Post Office Temporary, but wasn't even bikini. I mean, it was, you know, just a pretty portrait in a dress or whatever. Yeah,
so was there like a Miss Post Office and a Mr. Post Office, or was it like just the fairest of them all? Because I don't think a guy would ever win if he has to go up against ladies.
right. Men don't care. Or didn't then, maybe they do now. But at university, I photographed a pin-up girl. I went every week. There was two or three of us photographers at university who photographed a pin-up girl every week. And so that was in, you know, a sexy dress or a bikini, not topless.
I see.
So I did that as well at the university. So that's when I got into doing glamour photography, when I was 17 years old, and then did it at university, and have done it ever since.
So what's the raciest shoot, I guess, in brief, that you've ever done?
Oh,
or
the
wildest concept?
Wildest concept. Well, how much can I say over the radio? How much can I say live that goes in stays up forever? Oh, I've done some pretty exotic shoots.
uh-huh.
Well, you know that. I've done some, and some of you have been in them.
I know. I've been in some of them.
Yeah, right.
I remember, okay, one of the most memorable, I don't even know how many times I've shot with you, actually, sir, but I remember one was in Vegas, and this was when both, let's see, you're shooting me, and you're also shooting a beautiful black model by the name of LaVita.
All right.
So I remember that we didn't actually shoot together, but she came, you know, to the Vegas hotel room to shoot, and she's super awesome. But I think I had pictures taken of me like in the bathtub, and in the bathroom. Sitting on the this was fun. I remember this one quite clearly. I actually probably should get, like, those pictures resent so I can, like, showcase them on my website. But, yeah, moving along. Other than that one, for you, what? I'm still waiting for one of your stories that you can semi-edit. You don't have to edit too much. I did label this as a mature show, but, I mean... I would hope that my listeners have an imagination. I believe they do.
where I've photographed, I mean, a couple of times photographed two girls sort of getting sexy with each other and playing with each other, which is always fun. Once two of them got really, really sexy together, and then one of them, who'd never photographed with another model before, she suddenly turns to me and says, "Okay, that's enough, put the camera down, I don't want any more pictures taken." But she continued to be friendly with the other girl. That was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to turn the camera off.
Okay, so that was for your eyes only. Nice. Alrighty, so which locations do you like to shoot in or at or on? So I know with you I've shot actually where that Puma Suede picture was taken on the railroad. I know I shot there with you, which is kind of near Carpinteria, California. I've shot a ton with you in Santa Barbara area, Vegas, and a bit in LA. But like, what is your like all-time favorite location for shooting? A beach?
I would say on the beach, generally speaking. Though, you know, hotel room is a nice exotic hotel room is pretty good because you can control the light and it you know, you can use the bathtub and. There's a lot of stuff there. I've, you know, lucked out a couple of times with a suite with a nice big bathtub, and that's always fun to shoot in. Shooting in a plain studio is pretty boring. And location shoots, other than the beach, you know, the trouble is you got to be so careful. You know, you can't really shoot somebody naked very easily because you get chased off or caught by the police, or you've got to have a permit and, you know, stupid things like that. It's much more difficult to shoot nowadays than it used to be because people are so uptight about photographers. So shooting on a nice secluded beach where you can be naked without having to worry about anybody is fun. I do remember once I was shooting a girl naked on the beach in... Well, actually, it was in Carpinteria, and this was about 20 years ago. And I was shooting her, and she was jumping around in the waves, totally naked and so on, and I was taking pictures of her. And then we finished the shoot, and she said, "By the way, did you know that we had four cops watching us from the cliff above?" "No, you're kidding me." She said, "Why didn't you tell me?" She said, "Well, I didn't want to, because you'd probably be put off by it." And I said, "Well, that's true." And I guess one cop appeared, looked over, saw what was going on. He called another cop over, and then obviously they got on the radio and called another cop car down, and the four of them watched for a while. Fortunately, I wasn't aware of it, but she enjoyed it.
It was just an inspection. It was just an inspection. Nice.
They didn't do anything about it, so that was all right.
Well, there you go. Well, I know. Once we shot, what was it, La Costa. In La Costa, California. It's like on the way to San Diego. I believe it's in San Diego County, if not just outside of it. But that place is amazing. Like that hotel is like fantasy land. It looks like some Italian like villa, like beautiful. I don't know. Did you like shooting there? Do you remember? It was me another sexy model.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was that other well, it's your friend of yours, isn't it? I can't remember.
Yes, she is. Well, I don't know if she wants to give her name, so I'm gonna keep that out of it. She's gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful girl. And that was a lot of fun. I think I've been to La Costa maybe 3 or 4 times in total. And that's just fantastic. I don't know. But, let's see. Let me go ahead and play either one of my erotic stories or a song. Let's see. Where is my list? Sorry. Okay. How about I do... You know, I'm going to do a song, and then I'm going to pick out some sexy erotica, and I'll be right back with you once again. But let me go ahead and play... I'll play Tell Me Again by Collabo. And here we go.
Tell me again. Tell me again. Tell me again. Secretary woman, and she likes me cause I'm so fast. Press the gas, I'm always moving coast to coast. You like that? Like a rabbit in a hat of magic when I throw back. Here to stay, I'm never late for meetings with a paycheck. Take a breath, bite the bullet, get respect. I made that, lay that down like it was something else. I say that, spray that like the king. He's tagging like a maniac, brainiac. My head's gonna explode. Tell me again,
tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like me. Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like me.
My name is Kyle Young, I'm sure you've heard about me. KY.com, it's not hard to find me. I walk into a spot and ladies try to meet me. I'm the king, I'm the shit. Now tell me that you love me.
Cause I do what I want and I want what I do to be. Full of big bad stars like a movie screen. And if you're new to me, girl, then you will see how I work that magic beautifully. And I can tell by the glow in your retinas that you're sweating cause I'm dope and I'm setting up. So let's get the fuck out of here, rip a joint. I'ma take you home, won't disappoint. Tell me
again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like me. Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like me.
Nod your head, don't be jealous if you like me. Sip another drink, do the dance, take it lightly.
Shake your ass, get real low, like you want me. I can tell that you fell when you saw me.
Mind your head again, don't be jealous if you like me. Take another drink, do the dance, take it lightly.
Shake your ass again, get real low, like you want me. I can tell that you fell when you saw me.
Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit. No, there's no one like me. Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like
me.
Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like me. Tell me again that you're always gonna love me. Yeah, I'm the shit, and you know there's no one like
me.
Well, yes, then you can just listen.
Okay,
it's
I'm
not
in.
Very
I'll
long.
Be quiet. I'll listen.
Oh. Alrighty, I'll go ahead and do it. It's Sonnet 43. Alrighty, I'll start now. When most I wink, then do mine eyes thus see. For all the day, they view things unrespected. But when I sleep and dream, they look on me, and darkly bright are bright and dark directed. Then thou, whose shadow shadows dost make bright, hallowed thy shadow's form happy show to the clear day with thy much clearer light, when to unseeing eyes thy shade shines so. How would, I say, mine eyes be blessed made by looking on thee in the living day, when in dead night thy fair and perfect shade through heavy sleep on sightless eyes doth stay. All days are nights to see till I see thee, and nights bright days when dreams do show thee me. That was Sonnet 43 by the bard Shakespeare. The end. Woohoo. Okay, your cat doesn't have to have your tongue anymore.
My tongue's in my cheek. Ouch.
Oh, ow. That sounds painful. So voila, there you go. That's decent.
Your tongue is
dead silence. I get silence. This is the first time I've ever gotten dead silence. What the heck, man? I'm all embarrassed and, like, flushed.
I can always visualize it.
What happened?
I can visualize you blushing.
Oh, which cheeks?
All sexy.
Which cheeks are... are you visualizing? Anyway.
Do you want me to visualize?
I'm putting you to sleep, aren't I? Am I not?
No. No. I love your voice. You have a
whose voice? A voice of a ghost? I'm not even here.
Why not? Oh, okay.
Oh.
This is a recording.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly timed recording. So, wait. So, you mean I had you speechless? Is that what you... intended?
Well, yeah, just imagining you.
Okay.
Reading the bard. I mean, you know, it's just very sexy.
Mmm. Well, that's hot to hear you say that's hot. Yes. Anyways, moving along. So, what do you miss most about the UK or life in Europe in general, if anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's difficult. I miss little things here and there. I guess it's partly just conversations with people, going to the pub, you know, as a social thing. I mean, I didn't go to the pub every evening, but it was nice to go once, twice a week. But, you know, bars here are not the social thing that they are in England and Europe. I don't miss the weather. I love California weather. That was the main reason why I moved here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The weather's kind of tragic over there sometimes.
Yeah. Though I guess they're having a heat wave in England right now. It's actually warmer there than it is here.
Well, you know, when I was there for a few days last year after the European Summit in Prague, it was actually unseasonably warm there back then, because it was actually, September, late September, and it was very, very, very sunny, which I don't think is always the case in September in England. But, yeah. Let's see, and what do you like, most and what do you hate most about California life?
Well, I mean, as I said before, the weather is a nice thing. The scenery is great, California. The lifestyle here is, it's pretty, I mean, it's good. Yeah, of course the lifestyle here is good. My family is here. So, you know, that's important. What do I like least about it? Well, I mean, you can say silly things like the traffic on the freeway, but the traffic on the freeway here is better than the traffic on the autoroutes in France or Germany or England. So can't complain about that, really.
Arguably,
yeah.
Arguably.
You know that.
So, well, I remember, oh goodness, what was it? Along the Champs-Élysées at the very little roundabout near Étoile, it was kind of a nightmare. There's not even really lanes, or if there are, they're not clearly marked as such. Like, it's just, that's kind of ridiculous, and driving in Paris is pointless, but I've actually, you know, driven to different cities throughout France during, like, college and grad school and stuff, and, like, it's, once you get on the freeway, it's not so bad. Germany was a whole other thing. So I was actually in a smart car, like before they were ever introduced in America. And we were on the Autobahn, and I liked it, but my boyfriend's parents were like, you know, full of fright. But there were about five of us crammed in a car, so you know, a little tiny smart car going, who knows how fast, how many kilometers per hour, whatever. But you know, I'm not terribly familiar with England's traffic, only because I usually just was in a taxi for the most part. And I do not ever want to drive in England, because being on the whole opposite side in the car, that just throws my entire sense of direction completely off. I nearly got hit by cars like every day when I was out there. And just be, like, it's all look left, right, left, and I look, and I'm going, and then a car just, boom, like, out of nowhere, like, okay. So I tended to stay, like, around Piccadilly Circus or, you know, somewhere where there are tons of people, and I would just cross when they crossed. Because I would just get, like, you know, cars blaring and honking at me and cursing me out when I venture
well,
out.
Well, yeah, you, American tourists in England are notorious for not looking
we
the right way and getting confused by the traffic. But talking of the Champs-Élysées in Paris, that's one of my favorite roundabouts. In fact, when I went there with my kids the first time, some years ago, they said, oh, Dad, go around again. So I went around twice. And, you get pedestrians and cops walking across the street, and they just continue walking, and all the cars miss them. Quite amazing.
And you had fun doing that?
Yeah, you just go for it. The whole thing is to not slow down. And don't.
I'd rather be the one like weaving through traffic. I'd rather be the pedestrian weaving through traffic than actually, you know, behind the wheel, like, with pedestrians at my mercy on that roundabout. That is just asking for trouble. Like, I remember, I was out there for grad school, and I remember watching the World Cup while I was finishing my thesis, and then I wanted to go celebrate on the other side of town. I was living on the right bank, like about a block and a half from the Champs-Élysées, and I was like, oh, I'll just take a taxi because, you know, everything's going to be crowded with the metro and, like, all the cars celebrating because France had just, won against Brazil, I believe. It just took forever, especially around the roundabout, and then all the way, the entire way to, Olivia, that area, because everybody was outside of their cars, on top, like, screaming and yelling, taking their shirts off, getting naked, just, like, all a flurry over the wind. So, yeah, sports festivals or any of these kind of things, I'm just going to stay inside. That was about like an 80-euro taxi. But
yeah, the Europeans do get more crazy about. Why is those cities?
They like their soccer.
Yeah.
And are you a big soccer fan? You like?
No. That's
how far
does
England usually get?
Well, England just won. Chelsea just won an important game against Germany last week, which is, I guess, is a pretty big surprise for everybody. No, England won the World Cup back in 1966. I think.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's a long time for you, but in the big scheme of things, that's not that long ago.
Exactly. That means I too can also win the World Cup. I'm all the time in the world. No, I'm kidding. I'm being mean. I actually like England quite a bit. Although yes, I do fear for my life crossing the street there. But
well, you need to just go to one-way streets, and then you don't have to worry about it.
I don't even want to find out where those are. I'll just stay in the major areas, like before. I'll be lost in the crowd. How about that? But okay, so well, let's see. So for any listeners out there who are models and things like that, why don't you tell them? I guess some of your recommended sites where you contact models for photo shoots or things of this sort, One Model Place, etc. Which are your go-to sites when you're looking for models to shoot?
Oh, well, yeah, Model Mayhem is my favorite, and that's it's for. Well, actually, I guess it's mainly for photographers to find models, but I guess anybody else can go and look at the models and their portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, One Model Place is quite good. I tend to like Model Mayhem best. And then there's several others, but those are the main ones. And then I keep track of a lot of models through Facebook. You know, I'm friends with a lot of models on Facebook, and sometimes you meet other models through those models, which is
quite good.
But Model Mayhem is the one. In fact, I checked it just yesterday to see the latest models have signed up in the Santa Barbara area, and there were a couple there. In fact, I should go on right now and check and see if they friended me. I asked them I sent a link to them, but you don't get a notification back from Model Mayhem if they've actually accepted you as a friend.
Okay, and how about any model tips as far as posing? Anything to throw out there for beginning models of how to help ensure that their photos look their best? Because a photographer can only do so much, but there are ways that models can, put themselves in their best light. Do you have any tips on that? Any sort of direction you're constantly giving new models that you want to put out there?
The most important thing is to be enthusiastic.
Attitude. Yeah.
Enjoy it. Be happy. Relax. Relaxing is sometimes a bit difficult if you're a new model and just trying out, but that's where the photographer can put you at ease. And I think the first time I met you, I put you at ease and you were relaxed, didn't I? Must have done, otherwise you wouldn't have wanted me to photograph you again.
Well, sure, but how did you do that? what
be
was
nice
your magic?
To you.
What magic did you work?
You really have to flirt a little bit with the model, and if somebody from outside is watching in, they're going to think it is flirting, which is why sometimes when models want a boyfriend to be there or a husband can be a little bit intimidating, because they'll see it as a flirting, and an experienced model who has a boyfriend or husband who understands it isn't a problem. But you've got to encourage the model, say she looks beautiful, and I always tend to not worry about an actual pose, and if a pose isn't looking too good, I won't say that doesn't look good. I'll just, move on to the next pose. And, Most models, in fact, most girls who want to be models seem to get into the mode, and it's like you, Sandra. You're a bit of a ham. You like showing up and posing, and that's the key part of it.
Oh, I'm a hand.
But I mean, you will know that chemistry between the model and the photographer is important, isn't it? If you don't feel happy around the photography, you're not going to get good photographs.
I agree. Yes, definitely.
And that's something you can't control. But some photographers, I mean, I've been very lucky because I met a model several years ago, a black model, who was introduced to her by another photographer, and she'd been doing a shoot with him, and I went to meet her with the photographer, and so she met me and then said, yeah, I'll do a shoot with you. And so we did a shoot a couple of weeks later and photographed her naked on the beach. And I said, oh, I thought you didn't do nude modeling. She said, oh, I don't mind doing it with you. I feel confident with you and happy with you. You're not scary or anything. And then when the other photographer found out that I photographed her naked, he was quite upset. He said, well, she wouldn't be naked for me. And that was because she didn't feel happy around him. She didn't feel confident, or I won't say safe. He wasn't unsafe, but she just didn't feel right taking her clothes off with him where she did with me.
Right. I would definitely agree that basically the level of comfort that a model feels will determine how willing she is to go beyond just being a standard, doing standard poses or doing what she thinks the photographer is looking for. And once the comfort level has been established, model's more likely to go beyond the scope of what they think is required, and they just sort of make it up as they go along. And some of those are often the best photos once that threshold has been reached and surpassed and all that. And I would say that you are definitely one of the photographers that I've known for forever who instantly makes me feel at ease, confident, willing to sort of experiment with different styles and kind of let go. And so,
Well,
I suppose I would totally agree.
Nice to hear. So, that's why I like working with you. And, I love working with, doing shoots again with the same model, because, again, you get a comfort level and, you both feel happy with each other. And so, some models, I mean, you're one, Sandra is another model in Las Vegas who I've shot with now for, 12 years, would you believe? Yeah, 12 years photographing Terza. And, so that's always nice as well, just to do another shoot and experiment and do different types of stuff at different times rather than it just being a one-off shoot.
Right.
And sometimes, I've worked with, some highly paid models at times, and they're kind of boring because they're in their routine and it's just a job for them almost. And yes, they're good and they're gorgeous looking and so on, but there's no real fun involved because they're just doing a job for a couple of hours and they get paid and that's it. That's a shame sometimes. Be nice to build
up. Who was the contrast, I guess, of that as far as the mega models that are just, I don't get out of bed for less than XYZ per day. Is there any model in particular who's actually really awesome, who was fun and cool, who, is still in that caliber of what you would think is the cold, cool model? Name and specifically that you're she's awesome through and through, no matter what?
That would be the model Debbie Zulu, who was Penthouse Pet of the Year runner-up way back in 1977.
Uh-huh.
And I met her not as a model, but I met her through a friend of mine, and I met her as a person, not as a model to shoot. And then about 6 years later, I asked her if she'd do a shoot with me, and she said, "Well, I charge $1,000 a day." And I couldn't afford that, and I said, "Well, I just want one particular picture." and it was a wet look, you know, wet t-shirt. And so she said, well, how long would it take to shoot? And I said, well, if we can shoot it at a swimming pool at your house, I could do it in 20 minutes. So I said, okay, I'll do it for $100. So I photographed her and got the photograph and gave her $100. And she was on my calendar. And then the next year she said, I'd like to be on your calendar again. And I said, well, I can't really afford you again. She said, oh, I'll do a free shoot with you. So we went down to the beach, yeah. I went down to the beach in Orange County and photographed her for a couple of hours. And she said it was the most fun shoot she'd ever had because there was no art director there, there was no money changing hands, there was no assistants, nobody else, just the photographer, me, the photographer, and herself. And then I did another four or five shoots with her after that, and I'm still in contact with her now. In fact, I hate to say it, she must be in her mid-50s now, and she wants to do another shoot with me again sometime.
Awesome.
And that's, you know, really, really good compliment.
A big shout out to W Zulu then. Somebody thinks you're awesome. That's cool. Alrighty. Well, I think we've gone a little bit over for tonight's show, but no worries. I've had a great time talking with you this evening. Sir John Reddy, for listeners listening in, we can check out more about Sir John Reddy on his website, johnreddy.com, spelled johnreddy.com and glamourphotos.com. And so as we come to the end of the evening for Memorial Day weekend, I thank you again profusely for joining me this evening. I hope to have you on the show again, and I hope everyone's having a wonderful night, and we'll continue to do so tomorrow. Hopefully most people have the day off for Monday. And I will be right back next week, next Sunday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And yes, I believe that is about all I have to say this evening. But
Thank you for having me on. It's been fun.
You're very welcome. Alrighty. Well, this concludes tonight's show. Happy Memorial Day weekend. This is Playtime with Sandra Radio. Good night. Hello, all you sexy naked girls radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra. Every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.